Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg.
And I'm Philip Sage with ARMS Reliability in Australia.
So, hey, Philip, one of the things I've been struggling with lately, and it's been working with a couple of clients, and I thought you'd be a good person to talk to about this, is the presenting question I received was, how do I create a reliability plan? And in both cases, it was, how do I test in what I wanted? How do I create a set of tests so that I can check off that we did reliability? So that was the first problem. It's like, well, testing is not a reliability plan. You can plan for reliability tests, that's fine, but that's not a reliability plan. So I backed up a little bit on that and says, now, what are you trying to achieve? You know, what's your outcome here? What are you trying, who's going to use these tests to do something? Those kinds of questions. And that started a discussion. And then I asked them, so you're a reliability group. So what are you doing? You know, it's kind of that question you get in interviews. Where are you going to be? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? You know,
right.
What services do you want to offer, or how are you going to change the culture, or what equipment do you really need, or how can you? Years ago, I talked with somebody. They were telling me about a sensor that allowed you to measure the force of an impact. It was basically a little plate that had some, I don't know what kind of sensors were under it, but when you drop something on it, it would give you the waveform of the impact. And the, and the nature of, and then you could calculate how much energy that was and all kinds of cool stuff. And then it would bounce and it'd give you another peak and a bounce again. And they said that would help because then we could replicate the types of failures we get and understand how much energy that was. And then find out why our standard test drop testing isn't catching it, you know, and then they came back later and says our standard drop test, it was at 3 feet onto concrete. And to replicate the amount of energy that we're seeing that makes the damage, we have to drop from 10 feet. And they kind of figured their customers were throwing their products on the ground. I said, well, maybe there's some other problem you might want to fix. Or maybe into the wall. But the idea is that we don't live in a static world. And whether you're creating a new product or you're trying to enhance your program, your maintenance program in your plant, or the superset of that is improve the organization's ability to achieve the reliability outcomes. All of those things, in my mind, take a plan. Mm-hmm. I don't know which your sense on this thing here.
I think you have to have a plan. A good friend of mine, Henry Foster, used to say, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And I'm sure that quote has been stated in various forms by other eloquent individuals throughout the generations. But if you don't have a plan, you really don't know where you're going. And in order to develop a plan, I think rather than focus on the components and things that you think you might need as part of that plan, the questions you've posed are exactly spot on, and what you're doing is helping to facilitate some of the business goals and the cultural change that the group is trying to, even if they haven't recognized it, trying to affect. Having a plan is also, in today's world, something that needs to be dynamic and not necessarily set in stone, and that the plan can in fact change as you learn more and gain more experience. And I think that the same ideas that you're presenting are true, whether you're dealing in the product reliability space of reliability engineering, or you're over in the asset management space where you're trying to grow the reliability of the organization and infuse reliability concepts into operational excellence or lean manufacturing. So I think all of those things take a plan and an idea, and that's why it's important to ask the questions: what are you trying to achieve, and where do you want to be by when? What are the attributes, or you know, can you describe in your own words what that means to me?
Yeah, one technique I heard for you know, describing where you want to be is, you know, imagine you're on the cover of your industry's trade magazine or something, or Time magazine. I don't think they're actually around anymore or published, but, you know, in your favorite magazine, and you're being interviewed is, you know, about the success. And one technique I've heard is, what would a day in the life be if you achieve your vision or your idea of where you want to be?
Yeah.
You know, I know one team I worked with, they said, well, the phone would stop ringing and I would, the phone would ring and I'd be happy to pick it up because right now it's always an angry customer.
Yeah.
You know, or a supplier problem or this problem or that problem. And said, no, I would like the day when I could pick up the phone and it would be a call saying, hey, we love your product. It just works. You know, thanks.
Yeah.
So I don't get those
too. Yeah. Well, I've been a part of some very successful organizations, and what happens is that the firefighting and steel mill, for example, where I worked at, in the early part of my career, they used to blow a steam whistle you know, if it was two toots, that was for an electrician because they had a breakdown. If it was one long toot, that was for a millwright. And that, that, you know, that those were the phone calls of the day that you would respond to. But as you get more reliable, a shift happens and you start, people talk about the, you know, working on proactive things. But the real interesting thing is that the asset management space, the reliability space is kind of like a greenskeeper. You start to watch the grass grow because nothing's breaking down, and it gives you time to then focus on what is that next level of anticipation that I need to be working on, or that next level of synergy with the group that's out there still manufacturing at will on a constant basis because the equipment is so reliable. So I think it is a nice space. What does a day look like if you're on the cover of the industry magazine? It looks very different than a lot of other people's. And the other point I did tour a Purina cat chow factory once that was clearly top of first quartile in performance for reliability. Mm-hmm. And what I noticed was that they didn't have any maintenance people running around at all, except for the people with data collectors and taking measurements on the process, trying to figure out where it was weak and what might be the next breakdown. And everything in that facility, from the mixers down through the dryers and to the baggers and palletizers, which were all robotic, just worked perfectly. It was just a really interesting to see. But the people, they spoke differently about the value of reliability, the value of the maintenance team's contribution.
But that doesn't just happen, though, right? Having the vision, one, is this is what I'd like it to be like. And maybe somebody came from another plant that was well run and said, hey, we want to make it this way, or understood the value of getting it right and made that happen. But I often see plans that say, you know, Tuesday we're going to do this, and then a week from here we're going to do that, and then 6 months from now we're going to do this, and it's laid all out. And I'm going to come back to a point you made earlier. It should be flexible. Well, part of the plan at any, whether a project plan or asset management development plan or cultural improvement plan, is we often need to get some information in order to make a decision about, do we do this activity or do we do some other activity? Do we do an accelerated life test, or do we know enough to do this? Or does measuring vibration on this equipment really indicate future failures, or should I be measuring something else? Well, it's make a plan to go try it. Let's go make those measurements. Let's gather some data. Let's do the analysis, get back together saying, oh, okay, this indicates that we should go this direction. Let's take the next step. And I have found so much resistance to creating a plan like that, whether it's for a project development plan that's going to last 4 years or, you know, a shorter one that's only 6 months, I still get resistance to, well, you don't know what we should do now? Well, no, I don't know where the risks are, what's possible to fail, you know, what stresses are involved, what environment are you actually putting this thing in? let's understand that first, and then what materials you're using, and let's figure out if anything's going to melt. Then we don't have to test that because we know it's going to melt. It says, well, why don't we just plan on doing a high temperature test, you know, after we build it? Well, that's pretty darn late, isn't it? You know, let's think through what are the decisions we need to make in order for us to achieve our goal? You know, what sets the steps? And we've done this in plans, right? It's like, here's where we want to be. Here's the barriers. Here's the hurdles. Here's what we need to learn. Here's what we need to understand. And then we adjust as we go. But for whatever reason, I don't see that applied very often in a reliability plan. It's, you know, Tuesday test this and Wednesday test that.
Yeah, I agree, Fred. And I see, and I work with organizations all over the world for the last 12 or 15 years. And everybody now has recognized they need reliability engineers, whatever those are. Mm-hmm. The HR department goes out and that's us, right? And have no experience apply here all the way through some extremely well-educated individuals. So there's a wide diversity in the field today. And that's okay because it brings a tremendous amount of experience. But as far as a plan for reliability within an organization or a plan for reliability for your next product that you're going to develop, I don't see any of that. And we do work on, we often roll the predictive maintenance, and we talked about vibration a moment ago, and mm-hmm. oil analysis and ultrasound and all these other types of tests that can be done. But I think you need to have a plan and maybe even approach the development and the revision of the plan from an agile perspective that says we don't know where we know that many of these components are likely going to help us, but we don't know if any of them is going to help us really a lot right now. So let's pick a topic and let's go sprint in that direction for a couple of weeks and get back together and let's review what mm-hmm. we've learned and then revise the plan and move forward.
Well, you could also do three sprints, right, with the different types of measurement techniques, you know, and then after that month, let's get back together and say, all right, which of these ones is the most valuable for us? And let's focus on that in a little more detail and nail it down. But I get the point.
Yeah, the same thing is true. I mean, you'd like to be that Gandalf wizard where you could walk into any manufacturing facility or asset situation and immediately wave a wand and, a flash of light and everything would be top end first quartile operational mm-hmm. excellence evolution. But that's not the case. And everybody's in a different part of the journey and everybody does have different assets and certain things make sense at certain times in that journey. Whereas at other times they're so far out in left field that even if they tell you something, there's not anybody there that's going to be listening. Because the people side of asset management and reliability is often overlooked. So it's that synergistic approach where we're weaving reliability into the organization, not doing it as a side function or as a test that is recognized, but that we don't know why we're doing the test other than that we know that we do this test.
Well, that's a critical part. And you don't see that very often in plans explicitly and James Kovacevic and I talked about this probably a year or more ago is that when you're bringing a change to a program or an improvement to a program or a plan that's different than what you've done in the past. And in my mind, every plan should be tailored for the current circumstance. So it will be different is that there's this just as important change management process that goes on. And that involves what's in it for me, for the, you know, like a technician or a maintenance practitioner, mm-hmm. like you want me to gather this information. What's this for? Right? If I don't understand it, I may or may not do it. It may not be top of mind or followed through on or done. Whereas if they understand that it connects to allowing them to do proactive maintenance rather than corrective maintenance all the time, Now I have less stress in the job. Operations manager is not breathing down my neck all the time, and all that, you know, we can keep things running. But if we don't pay attention to the, I call it marketing of the plan, which is probably a disservice to what we're trying to do. But if you don't pay attention to the people side of it, you just build hurdles along the way rather than not. And I think a well-crafted plan is one that understands what do you need to know and how are you going to get that information. So like this agile sprint, go try lubrication measurements for a while and see if it gives you meaningful information for your equipment and circumstance. Do you have the skills to actually use it? You know, if telling somebody that, poof, you're the new lubrication expert, but don't give them any training, and here's the book, here's the manual, go figure it out, and then complain when it doesn't work out. Part of the plan has got to be recognizing the people side of it, plus not just the training part, but also, well, what's in it for them? What's the benefit to your staff and your crew that's implementing this? And then how does that tie into the business measures and metrics so you continue to maintain the management cover so you can develop and execute the plan? So I think there's parts of one that don't change to a completely different program every 3 weeks. It's kind of the next plan of the month. But there's, how do you know you're making progress? How do you involve people so that they become part owners of implementing the plan? How do you recognize the value that the small wins give you along the way so you can continue to maintain momentum? Allow it to be flexible. You're not going to ram through a program just because that's the plan. It's going to have to change. I haven't run a single plan yet that hasn't changed. Even if you think it's fixed, it's not. It's not going to work that way. But I think the point of the people side often gets overlooked. And I don't know if that's just managers going, well, that's the management role. We do that part. But I don't really understand why that's not part of plans very often.
Yeah, definitely want to have a plan of some kind. It's often difficult to, especially when the information in front of you and the future view is murky at best. The ability to put together a Gantt chart with exacting detail and lots of roll-up information is just not possible. But to be able to articulate, even if it's a one-pager, of what you plan to do and the general time frame that you expect to be able to see results, and the fact that you're going to be fluid, that you're going to adjust, and there are certain things that you may include and may rule out, and that the plan is going to change based on those learnings. I think all of those, if you can get to the point where that message is communicated to a broader group within the organization, whether it's product reliability or it's asset management, then you've started to crack the nut on the people side of the equation, which is probably the most difficult piece to deal with when it comes to reliability, is to keep all the people pointed in the right direction.
Well, one strategy that I totally embrace when I have a program manager that gets it, that understands it, is to not create a separate reliability plan, but just roll it into the project plan or the program plan right from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And then the program manager takes ownership. And I'm talking to program managers, the person that's allocating resources and managing the overall project, whether it's bringing up a new line or doing a product changeover or developing a new product. But if they, because the electrical, mechanical, and you know, the other design elements of those kinds of programs are within their domain, they control those resources. Well, the reliability is as much or more a part of those resources than the reliability team's part of it. And so including the the activities to understand the risks and to prioritize what we need to address or work on or what we need to measure, or are we hitting our milestones, is no different than, am I getting the throughput on this line as we expected? And how do we engineer it so that we do achieve that? And so I find that when it becomes integrated with the overall plan and not a separate document, it may have resources available, like reliability professionals, to implement many of the tasks that are involved in it. But the difference is that when it's separate, it's treated as separate, and that's what they do. Mm. Versus when it's integrated, it's what we do. And I see the better plans are implemented by the person doing the overall allocations, not when it's being implemented and owned by somebody that's the reliability professional and not the overall program planner or manager. Yeah.
Well, some interesting topics. I think the whole concept of having a plan helps you get focused, and your plan doesn't necessarily have to be totally formalized, but it should be well communicated, and the true test is whether your team can articulate back to you what the plan is. Yep. And if you've succeeded with that, then the communications that you've put out and the people side and their awareness of what's being proposed has succeeded.
Yeah, certainly gets a lot easier. And the overall need for it is I think the quote says it the best, you know, is if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you to somewhere. I'm trying to think of one that was, I think, by Mark Twain. I don't know who said it. Somebody said a failure to plan is a plan for failure or something like that.
Yes. Yes.
Something like that. And there's a few others out there.
All of those apply for it.
Yeah. And it's way more than just a quote on the wall or a slogan up on the top of the chalkboard.
Yeah.
So if you know of a good, if you're listening to this, you know of a good quote that applies here, let us know. We touched on a couple of them. Head over to ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR, and you can find a contact form there where you can join the conversation. There's also Philip and I and the other hosts are available through our about pages and or through LinkedIn. And one of the things we really enjoy is hearing from you and getting some feedback, some comments, some questions. And it makes for some more interesting discussions, in large part because there's something you prompted us to chat about or talk about. So with that, Philip, I think we'll wrap this one up. But I do have a follow-up question. I want to come back and hit record real quick with you. So I think it'll take another whole topic. We'll leave a cliffhanger there, see if that works.
Okay.
Talk to you later, Philip.
Cheers, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.